so much confirmation through your guys' prayers and prophecies too for the teaching tonight. My father did a teaching, and it was kind of explaining a hypothesis of Chronicles. Because if you look at King Solomon's wisdom that he's given, what he's been building, he's exalted to the point it looks like it destroys him. Now, you don't see that in Chronicles. It's only in Kings. Kings get to see it looks like it destroyed him. So what's the purpose for it? And so with these things, with the Word, what's the lesson? What's the lesson? What's the lesson? He's given us Ruach Kodesh to go to him. Not to go, who cares? He's in the room.
Yeah.
And so what's the lesson? And to the best, it was a great illustration, is what my dad's hypothesis I'm teaching is, this is an example of what Christ is going to be inheriting. His mind. And this is going to be at the end of the teaching. But can you imagine, Christ has a perfect mind. How many people didn't get the opportunity to go to med school, but they had the ability? Do you think they regretted it? Yeah, I got the ability to do it. Not in the cards. I can't go to university. Your father didn't get to go to university. Wasn't in the cards. He had dreams. Or an architect or a lawyer. Christ forfeit all those things. He had a perfect mind. He became obedient to the death of the cross. And he's the perfect man. We're created in Yahweh's image. Do you think he loved learning?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? How much do you love learning about good things? You're going, wow. And Christ was dealt the hand of cards to say, it's not in this deck. But in the life to come, you can imagine his mind going, boom, medicine, this, architecture, physics, neuroscience, whatever, and he just all of a sudden he's finally getting to do it, but it's postponed. David's life for the first 40 years, his life was suffering and suffering, and it doesn't mean that everything that happened to David was Yahweh's will, but Yahweh can use it as a story to tell, just like our lives. Sometimes we go through a hard time, you go, this is a lot like Hadassah with Haman. Mm-hmm. Does it give you comfort? Yeah, Yahweh does that. And David's 40 years of his life, the poor guy is always on the run. People stabbing in his back, friends, all kinds of things. Can you trust Joab? I'm a prophet. Here this thing is. What's the point of all this? And my father's teaching was the 40 years of David was like Jesus Christ coming as a lamb suffering. The 40 years of Solomon is like Jesus Christ coming back as a lion. There's no more suffering. He's getting to work. And a glimpse and a foreshadowing. We know about all these stories about types of Christ through the scriptures. Isaac was a type of Christ. Boaz with Ruth, the kinsman redeemer, Rahab. We hear these things. Only a Joseph, types of Christ. You get to see these things. And so tonight the teaching is kind of standing on the shoulders of that teaching. King David. Can you imagine King David going, that was me? That was the reason? That is fantastic! How do you like to see things wrapped up at the end of a book or a movie? Where you're going, how are you going to bring this back together? My dad just watched a movie called Forge. He goes, you got to be patient. Still like this. You ever see somebody talk? Probably me. You're like, is there a conclusion? Is there a point? But here's David at the resurrection getting to see the reason. He didn't need that. Does he want to know the reason? Yes, he wants to know the reason. But so tonight, we're going to be looking at David as a father, preparing things for his son to build, which was Solomon. And we're going to compare that with Yahweh as a father, preparing building material for who? Yehoshua, but not the temple at the book of Revelations, but the body of Christ. A whole other perspective, because you see this, there's dual meaning prophecies all throughout the Word. Nathan comes to David and says, you will not build a temple, but your son will, and his temple and his kingdom will not depart. Two meanings. Solomon's going to build a temple, but also the Christ line, because he's going to build a temple. So we know that Christ is going to build a temple in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine Christ going, I can't wait to cut some stone? I mean, do you think he has an idea? Think about Donald Trump looking at skyscrapers going, oh man, you did it all wrong. Think about Christ looking at Herod's temple going, it is really off here or whatever. He's a perfect mind. But this is going to be looking at Yahweh and Christ like David and Solomon, with Yahweh getting things together to give to his son to put things together. And here's Christ putting things together. Here he is, the head of the body of the Christ. And so it's just another perspective. So we'll kind of read through the notes so I don't miss anything. So the building of the temple, Yahweh and his son putting together the body of the Christ first before the assembly of the temple in the Revelation. I'm going to digress for just a second. There's a big parenthesis between Acts 2 and Acts 10. Acts 2, they receive the Holy Spirit. But this is not the body of the Christ. How can you say that? Because, and I have the scriptures in here, because the Apostle Paul says, nobody knew about the sacred secret. It was revealed to me. It wasn't in the book. And he says in Acts 3, if anybody knew it, the rulers of this world wouldn't kill the Lord of glory. Nobody knew this. It was revealed. It was a secret. Who unveiled Passover? Moses. Abraham did not. How is it revealed? Through the Ruach Kodesh. And so here is, so there's a building in between Acts 2 and Acts 10. The best explanation, what happened here, is that Israel was supposed to repent so Christ could come back. And when Christ comes back, after they repent, like Nineveh, hopefully, they didn't, then what would have started? The book of Revelation. And what would happen? The building of the temple at some point. Can you imagine Christ? I'm going to get to build the temple. He's looking at this temple. We'll read through the scriptures. And they're going, look at this temple. And he goes, it's disgusting. Hair is disgusting. Who built it? Can you imagine looking at a monument built by Stalin or Obama? I don't care what it looks like. Ugh. But here Christ was going to build the temple. And to the best of our knowledge, it was postponed because Christ told his disciples, this generation, we'll see these things happen. So what happened? Israel, to the best of our knowledge, did not repent. So Yahweh goes, plan two. David's life represents the life of Christ during the earthly ministry. Solomon represents the life of Christ after the tribulation when he builds the temple in Revelation 21. But here's a riddle. Where is the end of this book, the story?
Revelation.
There's no end.
Well, what's available to us? Where's the end? It'd be the book of Revelation mostly, but also in 1 Corinthians 15. So I put it right here. 1 Corinthians 15:24. If you guys would read it.
You want us to read it out loud?
Yeah.
Afterward, the end.
The end. Afterwards, the end. Okay. What's the end?
Whensoever he delivers up the kingdom unto his Elohim and Father, whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and all power, for he must needs reign until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. As the last enemy, death is to be destroyed.
So this should be a footnote in the book of Revelation where we're reading. Go read back because it doesn't necessarily show this in Revelation. We look at that. Okay, a father and a son, and after all this work, he's going to give back to his father. Then what? We don't know. We don't know. It's it. But in first, so here's a First Chronicles 22:1. Here's David. David didn't get to build the temple, but what did Yahweh say? Okay, so is somebody reading?
Then said David, "This is how the house of Yahweh God, and this is the altar of ascending sacrifice for Israel." And David gave word to gather together the sojourners who were in the land of Israel. And he set hewers to hew squared stones for building the house of Yahweh.
Elohim.
And iron in abundance for nails for the doors of the gates and for hooks did David prepare. And bronze in abundance without weight and cedar trees even without number. For the Zidonians and the Tyrians brought cedar trees in abundance unto David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender.
Pause there just for a second. Now imagine Yahweh's, here's David's heart for Solomon. Solomon's going to be a prophet, right? Who did David want to be around? Prophets. He's got a son that's being raised up right, choosing right decisions, because Yahweh could have pulled it away from Solomon. Here's David talking about his son going, man, my son. Now think about Yahweh talking about, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay. And charged him to build a house for Yahweh, verse 6, the Elohim of Israel. And David said unto Solomon, son, as for me, it was near my heart to build a house for the name of Yahweh, my Elohim. But the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Blood and abundance hast thou shed, and great wars hast thou made. Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because much blood hast thou shed on the earth before me. Lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest, and will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for Solomon shall be his name, and peace and quietness. Who desire peace and quietness more than David? Will bestow upon Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. Therefore will I establish his throne of his kingdom over Israel until times of age abiding. And Yahweh is also talking to his son, who will be born about 500 years later. Christ is reading these things. I'm going to build something with my dad. Think of Solomon looking at his dad's blueprints. Look, I got my dad's handwriting. I think about an heirloom. I want my mom and my dad's Bible. Look at their notes. There's their handwriting. I can remember. Mom does her these and thous. And here's Solomon. Who is Solomon? He's got the Ruach Kodesh. He's probably got tears all over the blueprints. He says, "This is my dad paid for this. How did my dad pay for this? Oh my goodness. What did he go through? Think about what your dad went through to get into your life. You're like, man, that's hard. But here's Solomon looking at the blueprints, and it makes me think of you buying something from Walmart, and they go F1, F2, here's all the tools, and you're looking at this thing, go, where does this thing go? Where does this thing go? And to the best of my knowledge, it was already designed, and for the most part. How does David know how much stuff? Well, it would appear that David prepared everything. You got to put it together, son. And how long did it take him to put it together?
7 years.
Yeah. So, 7 years. We complain about road construction. Was this a massive project? Can you imagine Solomon going, oh my goodness, I need more wisdom. How does this go here? Think about us putting stuff together. This is not going to fit. Just follow the directions. Now we're going to, here's Yahweh, like David. Now we're going to look at the son like Solomon speaking about building his father's temple. Luke 21, verse 5. Let somebody read that for me.
And his son spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Can you imagine Yehoshua hearing that? And remembering First Chronicles, I'm going to build a good temple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think he thought it was? He's a carpenter. Oh yeah, how would you build it, son? Well, I would do it like this. I would do it like that. And he's looking at this thing. He's not just saying something. He literally is going to build a temple. Mm-hmm. You can imagine Christ looking at that. Like, man, and here's a father going, son. Here's David and Solomon. Solomon, come over here. Look at this stone here. What's wrong with this stone? Nothing. Come on. Something's wrong with this stone. You're going to be running this thing. Oh, Dad, yeah, the stone's not right. Good. You're going to be running it. Here's a son and a father, and here's Christ looking at these things. Somebody read verse 19, 2:19 of John. That was Luke 2.
Yeshua answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and without rear it up in 3 days, but he spake of the temple of his body. And therefore he was raised from the dead, risen from among the dead. His disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Yahushua had said.
So this is dual meanings, okay? So the temple, and he is the temple, and there's a lot of temples, because in 1 Corinthians 1:16, what does it say? What are you guys doing to your bodies? Know you not, you are the Debir, the shrine of the living Elohim. You are the temple of the living God. We are now, right? And that's okay, we have the Ruach Kodesh in us. The father like David choosing, think about it, the father like David choosing where the parts are going to go. So this is what I just read is an explanation how to compare it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. It's so important. What, Andrew Womack did a teaching, my father was able to take it and distribute it. What is your position in the body of Christ? You have to have the Ruach Kodesh. You have to have it in order to move, to know which direction to go. And how do I know what I'm supposed to do? You do the scriptures, you go get quiet, you get peaceful. Well, it just doesn't seem that important. I want to be like that guy, Donald Trump. It is as important as Donald Trump. Everybody, do your job.
Yeah.
Do your job, do your job, do your job. And he gets promotion. So it could be washing, Vero volunteered to clean the toilets at the church when indigenous people went on the ground. So the church bathroom was disgusting. Vero got in there. And if he called you to do it, do a good job of it. Why? 1 Corinthians 12:18, like David, verse 14, for the body also is not one member but many. Though the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Melania Trump going, I'm just not that important. Christ going, are you kidding me? You're more important than you could ever imagine. So are you, so are you, so are you. Verse 16, and though the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath Yahweh, God, set the members, each one of them, in the body. How?
Even as he pleased.
He picked the parts! So, who picked your position? Wow! Love your job. Andrew Womack did a thing. He came to work once and the guy was complaining. He didn't like his job. He goes, I can fix that right now. Yahweh's reproved me over and over and over again for Christ. Where I was complaining about something. It's probably having to listen to somebody. And he was like, Aaron, do you like your job? Keep it. And that was the end of it. You know what that means? You're going to get fired. Can we get fired? Yeah, I think Saul was fired. I think Solomon was fired. Yeah, I think Judas was fired. And oh, yes, sir. What is your job? But Yahweh chose. It didn't say Christ. 19, but if they all had been one member, where had been the body? Now, therefore, there are many members, yet one body. Can you imagine Solomon looking at some of these parts his dad's doing? And dad, it's just this part. Every part matters. Every part matters. The little pen, the little needles, and they're talking about some of these rockets going off, some of the explosions. One little part goes wrong, it all explodes. And here's David teaching his son, every part matters in Yahweh's construction. Every word matters in his construction. Every word. I don't understand what this means. It's all part of the plan. Solomon, where did I stop?
We're at 21.
Okay. Yeah, I cannot say the hand. I think it was 22. Nay, much more, the members which seem to be weaker are necessary. And the parts of the body which deem to be less honorable on these, more abundant honor do we bestow. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Whereas our comely parts have no need. But Elohim or Yahweh hath tempered the body together unto that which was lacking, giving more abundant honor. That there might be no division in the body, but the members might have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffereth, all members suffereth. Or one member is glorified, or all members are glorified. Are you a housewife, or you don't have a job, you don't have money or something? You don't feel very important? You don't get to brag about a title? Neither did Jesus Christ. He's a carpenter's son. They think he's an illegitimate son. Can he show everybody how smart he is? Nope. They're not going to know until the ministry starts. So what does he do? Does he have answers to all these questions? Yep. This is a rabbi? Yep. Did anybody know? Nope. For the most part, his mom did. So what did he do? He took a position at the very bottom. If Yahweh is giving you a position at the very bottom, don't spit it and throw it away. Go, so did Jesus Christ, who was exalted at the right hand of the Father. Is this an opportunity for you? Why did Yahweh choose this position? Who cares? You should care. Because it's your launching pad into the resurrection when Christ comes back and goes, Vero, I wanted you managing all of this chemical engineering thing, but the only way to see if I could trust you is if you clean these toilets. Get past. Or here's a woman that had the intellect to go get a job at PhDs, but Yahweh says, no. Homeschool. If she obeys, boom! At the resurrection, she'll be exalted too. And this is all of us. And we can look at people that don't need to be exalted. And some of them, Yahweh didn't put them there. And there's been times in our life we're not doing our job. But that my dad was saying, the body of Christ can't work without a Holy Spirit. Right. We have to have the Ruach Kodesh. The structure of the body underneath that, the structure of the body of Christ that Yahweh and Yehoshua constructed was a secreto, it's a secret. And we won't go there, we won't read it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it's going to say, what Paul is discussing is a secret. Is a secret. And also in Ephesians 3 and Colossians 3, it's going to say there's a secret that nobody knew about, and who got the secret? The Apostle Paul. Who loved Christ more than Paul? And what? How was he rewarded? He got visited twice, I believe. Other people, if I see something, you have Moses and the prophets. Here's the Apostle Paul, and your Christ shows up and goes, man, I'm going to give you something. The sacred secret, a body of Christ where Jesus Christ is the head, and it's not just one Christ, he's been cloned. He's everywhere. Can you imagine his earthly ministry? I could be in Nazareth, but I can't be in, I'm in Galilee. I can't go to Nain. It's 3 days away. Oh, if I could just be there. Or I'm in Decapolis now, and I got to be over there. And just, you can imagine him going, man, can you imagine his heart, the network? Man, we just got to launch this baby. And the Ruach Kodesh is like an internet. Boom! An explosion. Where now Christ is everywhere. And Satan, who thought he was killing Christ and preserving his life, cloned him! Not more Jesus Christ! They're everywhere! Ah! What it is like Fantasia, but there was. And that's 1 Corinthians 2. And also Ephesians 3 and Colossians 3. And so there is a difference between speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost and Acts 10. The Apostle Paul is going to say, so really the body of the Christ, as far as we know, is really, at least for this teaching, which starts about Acts 10. The Ruah was poured out, but this is the sign of Joel, right? Blood, moon, vapor, smoke. It didn't happen. Well, neither did Nineveh get nuked either, right? Hezekiah didn't die either. They turned. And here's Yahweh watching, and they still rejected his son. They still reject. But so father and son, so here's a comparison underneath that. Yahweh like David, and then Yehoshua like Solomon. Yahweh, who chooses where the parts go. Solomon, 1 Corinthians 12 says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He's choosing things. And it's just like David collecting stones for his son. And who's running the operation? Ephesians 1:20, it says Yehoshua is the head of the body. You know, wives, does it make you feel uncomfortable that you've chosen a husband to be your head?
Yeah.
I've heard people say that. I don't want to hear my husband's the head. Jesus Christ is his head. Okay, I've heard that. Who's Christ's head?
Yeah,
Yahweh. It's good to have a head. I don't want a head. Yeah, you do. Okay, so help your husband. And then we go to page 3. Ephesians 1:20. And this is also 1:20. And he, Yahweh, energized in the Christ, Yehoshua, when he raised him from among the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenlies, over above all principality, authority, and power, and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming one, and did put all things in subjection beneath his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things into the assembly, which indeed is his body, the fullness of him who all things and all is for himself filling up. And just imagine Joseph being exalted to Pharaoh. Give him some good clothes. Joseph got cleaned up before he went from Pharaoh, right? He's a good businessman. He shows up. This is the guy, put chains on him, he's at the right hand. And you can imagine, here's Pharaoh, go find a place. They're not going to find a dump. Now he represents Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh goes, you are running everything, Joseph. But remember, I'm still Pharaoh. Yahweh's the same thing with Yehoshua. Your reward, you're going to get all this. But remember, I'm still your father. He didn't have to tell Yehoshua that. But you can imagine Joseph being exalted, chains on him, and then here's part of his exalting, and now he's got Manasseh and Ephraim, so he's trying to forget what happened to him. But then when his father comes home, and Yahweh reveals to Joseph, who was a prophet, if you had not done this, they would have all died. Joseph, the only way to save your father and your miserable brothers is for you to die this way. And here's Joseph. Oh, can you imagine the emotion wrapping up? And he just starts bawling. Oh my goodness, because it says when his brothers are there, he starts weeping, and I bet you that's when the revelation came. This is a part of Yahweh's plan. He steps away. Now when Christ is seated at the right hand, can you imagine the angels that have seen all these Christs go before him, types of Christ, seeing Christ exalted, and there he is now. After, let's see here. And so after 40 years of war, David, the father, it was neat at the very beginning when we started reading Chronicles, hands the kingdom and the building material over to his son. So he could build the temple and live 40 years of peace. And let's see here. This is like Yahweh choosing where the materials go before Christ starts building it. And so with Acts 2, Paul, Peter says, this is a sign of Joel. And the day of revelation is coming now. It didn't happen. What happened? So what's going on? We're not quite sure. But what we believe is Yahweh says this changes things. What was supposed to happen, in my opinion, Christ has been exalted. What's he going to build?
Temple.
A temple. Now he's not going to need to build a temple because Israel's not repenting. So what happens? The sacred secret. The sacred secret happens. Who knew about the sacred secret? It says nobody knew about the sacred secret.
Wait.
And here's Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, in Acts 10, and all of a sudden, pieces to a temple start floating in. And he recognizes K4, J15, parts of a puzzle. Here's Cornelius. This is where this goes. And all of a sudden, he starts building a temple he didn't even know about. He just said nobody knew about it. And Christ starts building a temple, and wow, as you can imagine, Yahweh, we're not going to get to build that temple, but I got a good plan. We're going to build another temple, and you're going to be managing this thing. And that's called the body of the Christ, with Christ right now. So things to ponder, to think about. Imagine Christ every time somebody becomes a Christian. Who chooses where they go? Not him. It's a father and a son. I work with my dad. Can you imagine Emilio and Nelson working together? What was your dad's dream? What was Nelson's dream? It was to be together, wasn't it? To work together on a farm, to be successful. And here's Yahweh and Yehoshua. And if somebody gets saved, they go, there's going to be a new earth. And you're going to have to bow down to the king now if you want to bow down to them then. Do you want to go? Are you going to, Deuteronomy 28, are you going to serve him? I'm there! Boom! Can you imagine spiritually what happens? Some sort of light shines, and Jesus Christ got another stone, just like Solomon. Can you imagine Solomon getting stoned, seeing his father's initials? My dad made this. So here's Yahweh delivering thousands of parts daily with the body of Christ. People be water baptized or converted wherever they are, and they're just coming in and Christ doing this. I just imagine him. You see St. Peter's Basilica or Sistine Chapel, and he's putting pieces together, and it's more complex than that because we can advance. We can seek the greater gifts. We can start off as a waiter like Philip, and I can become a prophet. We gotta move you over here. And here's Christ going boom, 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 boom. And imagine Christ not getting to go to med school. Christ not getting to study law. Christ not even getting to study physics. Who do you think Jesus Christ wanted to see the sun, moon, and stars the way we do? The word was written in the stars first. Who would have loved the moon more than Christ? You think he would have liked to study those things? Well, he does now. Every time there's a position in the body of Christ, they show up. You can imagine, a physician? I've been wanting to study medicine. Thanks, Dad. Come over here, Ben Carson. Ben, I want to try this. And here's Ben Carson, Christ, working through Ben Carson. We're going to separate these people. We saw the movie Sight. Here's a blind person. Thanks, Dad, another physician. Here's this Chinese guy. We just got to get this Chinese physician into the United States. We're going to fix this blind thing. I know what it's like to see somebody see vision again. You can see Christ through using the Ruach Kodesh through this guy going, you can do this. You could do this, man, and Christ doing surgery, still working as the body of Christ coming together, architecture. I didn't get to study those things because I was in Chaco being a farmer, right? Like Grandpa Russ, he didn't have choices. But now I get to do all of this. And he is an example for all of us for the resurrection when we get there. Let's see here. So now imagine when you became a Christian. When you at a mature age, you made a fully, I'm in, I thought about this, and the children do it, but I believe what my dad was saying, there's got to be, you have to understand where you're going. Does the children know they're going to be washing people's feet? They're going to be serving? Children, me. So we don't, I'm not saying they're not saved, they're going to be saved, but there's probably an age of accountability. Do you still want to go? And can you imagine what Yahweh did when you became a believer? I got a Winnie Lee. And he looked down and he goes, she's getting out of Arcola. I got a plan. Here's a Chuck. He wants to be an altar boy. I got better dreams for him. My dad goes, and here's Yahweh going, I want him to do an internet ministry. Okay, what's the internet? We'll figure it out later. Here's Vero. You're going to travel the world. And here's these dreams inside of you. And Philippians 2:13 says, it is his desires that is Yahweh that both the desiring and the energizing and begat in behalf of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. He has put his energy in you. Who? Not Christ. Yahweh has put desires inside of you to come together. Have you ever seen cell structures or a baby being knit in the womb? Or DNA wrapping together and it's working? That is happening inside of us when we have fellowship within a communion. And he starts wrapping things together and starts building these things. And then you can imagine, how much do you think David desired to see Solomon build this temple for Yahweh? Who wanted the temple in the first place? David. I'm in a house of cedar. Then he gets to see these materials, like Moses not getting to go into to Canaan at the time. Moses goes to sleep. His next moment, he's in the land of Canaan. David goes to sleep. 70 years. You've had enough. David go to sleep. But what were his desires, man? Yeah, he's going to want to build this with his temple, with his son. And Yahweh, with his son, is building this temple, the body of the Christ, coming together and moving. And on the last page, how important it is for us to give people choices and chances. The words are not going to come out perfect. We're going to make mistakes. He can work with that as long as we're moving. To give people choices and chances to repent, to change. I was sitting at a pastor's luncheon and we're talking about things, this and this and that. No, I was sitting next to a pastor who's a great guy, but he's holding on to some things. And he asked me about something and I go, I know what motivates me. He said, what? I go, don't everybody desire to be a teacher for you have a greater judgment. And I said, that's what gets me moving. And he got really quiet. And I go, yeah, I didn't want to be a teacher specifically for that. I don't want a greater judgment. Yeah, every teacher is going to go through something. And he got really white, but I don't know what's going on in his heart. But you better focus. You're going before him one day. And if you get things right, he can work with it. But back to the building of the body of the Christ, what I wanted to build is a circle. And so here's an example of Yahweh with Yehoshua building a temple. And you start here. Yeah, it's somebody read on the left, a heart.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them.
So what do we have here? A heart. Yahweh's looking at people. Who wants to go? What's the purpose of your existence? I'm looking for people to populate my new zoo. I need some animals in my new zoo, and it's not going to be a zoo, but it's, hey, I got positions. You got a choice. Let me see your heart. Do you want to go? Do you not want to go? Do you still want to go? And here it is. When we give people a choice, he's coming back any moment. And that was it. What happens to the guy in the chariot? He says, stop the chariot. Philip didn't say, stop the chariot. What happened to his heart? Amen. He says, stop the chariot. He gets into the water. Philip baptizes him. Boom! Philip's gone in a whirlwind, just like Elijah. He's gone. And what happened to that guy? Jesus Christ got another part. And that, however this works, Christ, or he becomes saved. And go over here. And Yahweh looks at the stone. You can imagine a stone quarry. That's where they cut stones. The stone goes to Yahweh. I think this will look over here. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath Yahweh set the member, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased. And they go down to the bottom. Yehoshua putting stones in place. And that is an axe with Philip. And he's going to say, Philip, go! He's going to say, go run in the desert. Where am I going? Just go! That's Christ running the body of Christ. Where am I going? Just do what I say and I'll work it out. And what does he do? He works it out. Philip understood it afterwards, so Christ is running it. Another good example is with Ananias, with Saul. Here's a murderous person like Saul. Can you imagine Barack Obama wants to come to your Bible study? No. You're not coming in here. But here's Saul, and Jesus Christ goes, he's my vessel. And so here's he's turned, he's changed, and I don't know if he had received the Ruach HaKodesh yet, because his eyes fall off with Ananias, but Christ tells him, I got a spot for this guy, he's right over here in this position. So that's for all of us. He could be a Muslim, he could be a Hindu, he could be whatever you think, a transvestite. And Yehoshua goes, that's the one. That's the one! The 400-pound man in a blue dress. That's the one. Okay, there's members of the body of Christ I don't understand. Okay, hey, I need to talk to you. What about Jesus Christ is coming back and I'm glad. Are you glad? I'm not glad. Did you open the door and start working? Because, and I think every time that we get to witness to somebody that becomes a Christian, and that could be on Facebook, it could be on the internet, it could be wearing Christian shirts, everybody's getting signs. Every time I see a Christian shirt or a Trump bumper sticker, I feel better. They're witnessing to me. They're testifying. But think about this. Think about you and I when we do what Philip did. We go, that person. It's like, Daddy, Lord, I got another stone for you. I found another one. And we go find stones for this structure. And what a wonderful opportunity to get to build it. Because wouldn't it be neat to get to build the Temple of Solomon? My grandfather put that stone right there. That's nothing. We're building the body of the Christ. And one day, people will be coming to us going, Veronica Paulo Cunningham, you're the one that found that one stone, the stone that held the whole dome together. How'd you find that? Well, that's a good question. Here you go, Chuck Cunningham, you're the one that came together with the pieces that figured out the suspension bridge. How'd you do that? Well, here it is. But Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for today. And what a privilege it is to get to be a part of you and your son building the body of the Christ together. And that one day, perhaps we'll get to participate in rebuilding your temple with your son as the chief engineer or taskmaster or whatever the word is. We thank you for these believers here, for these words. Know, my sons and daughters, that my plans are incredible. They're explosive and they're things that you cannot understand. As you consider the distance from left to right of outer space, how can you understand all my reasoning and my decisions? Here's what I ask you to do is don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about the details. But focus on the relationship. Focus on the relationship. Focus on the relationship with me. The more time you spend with me, the more peace and confirmation you'll have that you'll know where you're supposed to be going. And I'll tell you where to go and I'll tell you what to do. The hand is connected to the electrical system called the nervous system. The hand has no thoughts on its own. The brain will tell it what to do. But in your case, I need you to obey me so that I can get my Father's work done this day, and perhaps you will be the hand that opens blind eyes today.
Amen. Yeah.